God, I'm thankful that we serve a God that takes care of his children. Amen. And I'm thankful for that beautiful song. Thank you for that. Open up your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter number 17 this evening. I want to take a quick look into the life of Jehoshaphat. And, of course, he's a man that really requires much study to really dig it all the way into his life. But I just want to preach a message about a godly king gone bad. A godly king gone bad. You know, the truth is good godly people can go bad and can backslide and can get into the wrong things, being involved with the wrong individuals, with the wrong people, the wrong influences can really bring someone down. The importance of friends are really important. You know, and it's important, especially in the teenage years, as parents, as, you know, God has given us our children to watch over them and to raise them up, train them up in the way they should go. Part of that is knowing who they're hanging out with and who their friends are. Because what an important thing in the life of a teenager, in the life of anybody really, about who they're hanging out with, who's their friends, who's their friends. Why? Because we know what a bad influence friends can be in a teenager's life. I mean, my best friend growing up, he was my best friend, and you know, he got involved. He was a good kid, but got involved with the wrong crowd and with the wrong friends, and it started to create a quick downward spiral. And before you know it, he had OD'd. We were down in Florida by that time, but got a letter, and I didn't even know he had a problem with it, but ended up ODing on drugs and passed away at 23 years old. And why? Because he got in with the wrong crowd, the wrong influences. And how important it is that one of the reasons a lot of people get in with the wrong crowd, get in with the wrong friends, is they compromise. And they start to compromise their standards. Why? So we can, quote unquote, fit in with the crowd or fit in with a group of people. And they always compromise. And let me tell you, warn you, that whenever we compromise, we always compromise more than we intended to when we started. Always happens that way. No one ever goes out and says, you know what, today I'm going to be I want to be a drug addict and I want to OD on drugs. It doesn't happen. You know, it's something that happens. You start to compromise and say, well, it'll be a little bit here, a little bit there. It's okay socially, whatever compromise you want to try to make. It's all I make a compromise. It's okay to hang out with these friends and that friends, even though I shouldn't be. But you never set out to, you know, for that to be the final conclusion of the compromise that you made. But people always compromise more than they ever intended to. No one ever says that. In our Christian walk, we have to be careful that we're not compromising. Amen? In 2018, too many people are compromising. We're trying to, you know, we think of Christianity, you know, as the world, as the world is moving this way, in their music and in what they do and the way they talk and the things they listen to, the world, as we know, things are getting worse and worse. We understand that. But as the world continues to move this way, you know, Christianity seems like it's continued to follow. And Christianity thinks because, well, if the world's here, and so long as we stay a little bit behind the world, we're doing better than them. Well, that's a problem, folks, because that means we're just following the crowd. We're just compromising what we believe. We're not as bad as the world, so we're okay. See, the further that the world continues to move away from what is right, we should still be back here. Amen? We shouldn't just keep compromising or always saying, well, it's okay because we're okay. We're just a little bit better than the world, so we're not as bad as they are. And compromise, what does, you just keep moving and moving and moving. You compromise more than you ever thought that you were compromising. We have that. We see that a lot in Christianity today. A lot of people, you know, we hold our friends in such high regard. People hold people, you know, in such high regard, and they want to be friends, and they want to have that relationship. And a lot of times we read Bible characters, and we should look up to Bible characters. I mean, I call them characters, but people in the Bible, we should look up to them. But you know what? They messed up too. And we have to make sure that in our lives that we have our focus not on what do other people say or what do other people do, but what God says. You know, we think of great men in the Word. We think of Noah. Noah got drunk. We think of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They all lied to save their own hide. We think of David committed adultery and had Uriah murdered. Moses was a murderer. Solomon was an adulterer. Peter lied. John the Baptist doubted Jesus. What am I trying to say here? If it had not been for the blood of Jesus Christ, we'd be there too. Amen? But by the grace of God, we could be in a mess too. But only by the grace of God, we might not have been through, you know, have committed some of them things. What I'm trying to say is, you know, we look at these men, and men are fallible, right? No matter who you are, men are fallible. You can mess up. They make mistakes. But what we need to do is keep our eyes set on the Lord. at all times. Keep our focus there. Now, of course, when we read about a guy like Jehoshaphat, why is he in the Word of God? He's in the Word of God to be an example. He's in the Word of God that we can read about his life and say, wow, I can apply that to my life. And I pray that, you know, we don't take Jehoshaphat and just think, oh, it's another story in the Word of God. But think about his life and think about what he did here and say, can we apply it to our life? And now 2018, it feels weird. I've been saying in 2017 for a year, I guess. In 2018, amen. Let's look at his life and see what we can pull out of here. Look at, go ahead and stand in honor in reverence to the Word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter number 17. Verse number 1. It says, and Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nathanael, and Micaiah, and to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites. Now there's a few names in here I'm going to butcher, I know it, because I've read them like 1,000 times. I still can't get them right, but here we go. And he sent Levites, even Shemaiah and Nathanai and Zebediah and Asahel and Shemiramoth and Jehonathan and Adonijah and Tobijah and Tobadonijah, Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram priest. And they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. It went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this evening. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the ones that still do not compromise, the ones that are still sticking by the stuff, that are still following what is true and what is right. Lord, I just pray that you would work in our hearts tonight and lead and guide us and direct us only in the way that you can, Lord. Just be with us. Lord, walk up and down these aisles, and Lord, open our hearts up and our minds that, Lord, we may receive something from heaven tonight. Lord, just be with the remainder of the service. We ask it all in Jesus' name I pray, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. All right. So very first thing we find out here in the Word of God is we see the righteousness of Jehoshaphat. Look what it says in verse 3. And the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the first ways of his father David. One thing I want to point out is that David, we know that David was a man after God's own heart. We know that David had good judgment, especially in the first ways of David. We all know about the mistakes that David had made a little bit later in life, but in the first ways of David, he had good judgment. He was a pure man. The Bible says a man after God's own heart. If you read in the Psalms, the Bible says that David delighted in the law of the Lord. I believe that one of the main reasons God said that David was a man after God's own heart is because David delighted in the law of the Lord. He loved the Word of God. One of the things we as believers, we need to love the Word, amen? Love what God has to say. Why? Because this is our guidebook, amen? This is our what do we do in life book. You know, we don't have to go to the dummy book or what they call them, like dummies for this and dummies for that, whatever it is, right, amen? We might be dummies, but we can go to the Word, amen, and we can get answers there. But, you know, and that's our guidebook. And David delighted in the law of the Lord, and he delighted in God's word. And David, he made a choice to serve the Lord. And when we choose to serve the Lord, God will bless. You know, we think of Joshua. What did he say? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm thankful that there's still people today that are standing up saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Because a lot of people aren't saying that anymore. But I'm thankful for those that want to serve the Lord and find that and follow after what God has. So Jehoshaphat has a lot of great qualities, as here his father David had here. It's not his father, but it's, you know, in his lineage there. But the Bible says not only verse 3 that he walked in the first ways of his father David and sought not unto Balaam. We know that Balaam, of course, was the idol, one of the main idols there back in those days, worshipped by the Canaanites. They worshipped Baal, and he was the sun god and the storm god, and he was usually depicted holding a lightning bolt. They believed in his, that he gave them power and fertility, not only in having more children, but also for the crop. So he was their fertility god. And they would pray to him, you know, as far as having children, pray to him that they believe he gave them children. They believed that that he would grow their crops and do all those things. And that was the idol that they were serving in them days. But the Bible says that here Jehoshaphat, he sought after the Lord. He followed after the first way his father David. He sought not unto Balaam. Verse number 4. Look what it says. But sought to the Lord God of his father. You know, when you think of he rejected everybody else. You got to think, you know, the nation of Israel as a whole, and not everybody, of course, but they were, you know, they would go through times where they would serve these false gods and these idols. And the Bible says that he didn't do it; he rejected it. No matter that everybody else was doing it, no matter that other people were compromising all around him, Jehoshaphat said, "I'm not going to. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will do what's right." And even though everybody else around him was. And the Bible says that in verse 4 that he sought to the Lord God of his father. In other words, think of that word sought. He had to search. I mean, it's a word, you know, it's like an action word. It's a word that it doesn't just happen, but here Jehoshaphat sought the Lord. And he searched for the Lord, and he worked on his relationship with God. He didn't just take it for granted, you know. And when you want to walk with God, it has to be an action. It has to be, it's not something that just happens. It isn't something that you just wake up in the morning and automatically are going to have a great day and you're automatically going to do right. And, you know, if you follow with me what I'm saying, what has to happen is that every day when we wake up, it's a new day. We might have had a great day today, and we might, you know, have won some battles that we, you know, maybe have lost in the past. Maybe today we've overcome some things that we needed to overcome and whatever it might be. But guess what? When you go to bed tonight, you wake up tomorrow morning, it's a new day. And maybe the devil's going to try to throw a few more things your way tomorrow or whatever it might be. But it's a new battle tomorrow, if you will. And every day we wake up, we need to search for the Lord. Amen? We need to daily devotions, even though maybe you wake up, you don't have a lot of time before you go to work. Maybe get one of the, you know, the little booklets that have a little devotion in it each day of the week. And they have a devotion. And just get something from the Word of God. Get something out of a quick devotion in the morning or whatever. But every day is a new day. And here Jehoshaphat did that. The Bible says he sought after the Lord. He searched. He made an effort to continue to serve God. He said, I'm going to search for God, and I'm going to, you know, daily sanctification in my life. And look what he says in verse 4. But sought the Lord God of his father and walked in his commandments and not after the doings of Israel. Again, they were doing what? Israel was worshiping Baal. Here they were. They had taken their eyes off the Lord. They had set their affections and other things. Here they should have been serving the God that they of their fathers. They should have been serving the God of heaven, as we know. But here they were. Everybody else in the crowd, if you will, was doing other things. Everybody else was serving Baal and worshiping this idol. And how, you know, silly that sounds. But they had taken their eyes off of Jesus. They had followed the crowd. And let me tell you, just because the crowd does something doesn't make it right. Do you guys know that? Are you with me tonight? Just because the majority of people do it doesn't make it right. You know, I hate to think that we have this idea and this concept in our teenagers and in our families today that, well, so-and-so, they do this, so it must be okay. Oh, well, you know, these other people, you know, they listen to that and they watch that, so it must be okay. Says who? Here, the majority of people, they were worshiping Baal, but not Jehoshaphat. They said, no, I'm going to keep that stuff out of my life and out of my family's life because we're not going to go down that road. You know, people think, you know, if I pulled up in the parking lot and I had rap music blaring out of my truck, does that make it right? Well, Pastor Ryan listens to it. It must be okay. Of course not. Why? Just because if I did something, would that make it right? No. And this whole, you know, this whole movement today, and you have all this garbage and all this music in the world today, and I guess they think because they put Christian in front of it, it makes it okay. Let me tell you something, church. There's nothing Christian about rap and rock. Amen? It's a mess. And just because, well, other people are doing, well, other churches listen to that, and so-and-so, they listen to that, and they do this, and they go to that, I don't care. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Are you with me tonight? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't care what the majority does. If Jehoshaphat had the same idea, well, so-and-so listens to that. Oh, well, so-and-so, they worship him. He would have been in a mess.
Bible said, hey, the majority was out there worshiping Baal. The majority of the people were out listening to things they shouldn't listen to and watching things they shouldn't watch. But Jehoshaphat didn't. And what a blessing that is. We're going to find out why, because he did that. Look at the verse says in verse, or the Bible says in verse number 5. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat's presence, and he had riches and honor in abundance. So here we find out God is blessing him. God is taking care of Jehoshaphat. Why? Because he's not doing what the crowd does, if you will, but doing what God has for him. And when you serve God and you do it and you serve him in the right way and you follow God and make it a point to serve God, God will bless you. And I'm not talking about in a financial way, but I'm talking in a much greater way, and that's in a spiritual way. It's in a way where you see the blessings of God every day in your life. You know, as a believer, I'll be driving down the road sometimes, and you'll see, you know, these people in a bad accident driving by, and you think, man, thank you, Lord. You know, I didn't get in that accident. Or maybe, you know, you were going to leave the house, you're going to leave the house, but something, oh, I forgot to grab my wallet or something, you know. And you run back in the house, you grab your wallet, come out, and you're driving down the road 5 minutes later, and all of a sudden, right in front of you, you know, there's a big accident. You know, and you can't help to think that God might have spared you from that. Maybe God had you forget your wallet and say, you know, you had to go back in. Otherwise, you would have been a little bit further up the road. Maybe you would have been in that accident. You think about the different things that God blesses us with each day of our lives. And we had a lady down in our church in Florida. Her name was Fran Tyner. And anytime we had devotions, her favorite verse in the Bible was Psalm 68:19, which says, "Blessed be the Lord who loadeth us daily with benefits." And that was always her favorite verse. She loved that verse. Why? Because the Bible says that he loadeth us daily with benefits. That's a pretty cool verse, isn't it? Every day we're loaded. God loads us up with benefits, with things that we don't even deserve, but he loads us up. And here we find Jehoshaphat serving God in the right way, not going compromising what he believes to try to toe that line with the world. Here we find out, number one, the righteousness of Jehoshaphat. Number two, we find out the revival of the day. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, "And his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord." He was on fire for God. He was encouraged. He was serving God. You can feel how he was lifted up and excited and about serving God. And as we know, when we're on fire for God, when we're serving God the way we should be, when we don't have any idols in our life, when we get the stuff of the world out, and remember, to be Christian, it means to be Christ-like. So remember the music that we listen to, the things that we watch on TV, the things that we allow to come into our lives. Again, just because it says Christian in front of it doesn't mean it is. Is it Christ-like? Is it something that Christ would be listening to? Is it something that Christ would want to watch? And we got to be careful about that. But here we find the revival of that day. His heart, he was on fire for God. He was lifted up. The Bible says there, continuing in verse 6, "Moreover, he took away the high places and the groves out of Judah." As I talked about on Wednesday night, we talked about Gideon and how Gideon went and cut down the groves. And that was the way that they would have them. They would have their idols, and they usually typically would have it up high on a mountaintop where everyone could see it. So anyone that was in that city, in that village, could look up and see the grove and see the idol up where, pretty much wherever they were at in the city. And here we know that Gideon, he went down and cut down that grove. Here, no different. Here we have Jehoshaphat. The Bible says he took it away, the high places and the groves out of Judah. So he went up there and said, hey, we got to get this junk out of our lives. Hey, this false worship is garbage. We got to get it out of our lives, no matter what it is. Even though Israel, think about this for a minute. Even though Israel as a whole thought they were doing right by serving that. Israel as a whole, because everybody else was doing it, it must be okay, thought they were doing right. But we know they were doing wrong. They had an idol in their life that was hindering them in a great way. But not Jehoshaphat. He had that garbage. He cut it down. Verse number 7. Also in the third year of his reign, he sent out to his princes, even to Ben-Hail and to Obadiah and to Zechariah and Nathaniel and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. So here he goes. Jehoshaphat goes, okay, let's cut down the idol. Let's get that garbage out of our lives. Let's cut down the groves. And hey, let's go teach the people the word of God in verse number 7. He goes to teach in the cities of Judah. He goes and tell all his people. He says, hey, we need to get the word of God in these people. You know, if we're going to get straightened out, let's base what we believe on the word of God, not on what other people are doing, not on the compromises other Christians are doing, not on the compromises other churches have made, not on the compromises what everybody else has done. Why don't we do what's right? And the only way we're going to do that is if we go out and we teach the Word of God and we open the book and we say, what does God have to say about it? Not what do I think, not what does my friend think, but what does God say? And he goes out and you find the revival of the day. They go out and they're teaching people the Word of God, how important it is for us to learn the Word of God, how important it is to base what we believe on the Word of God, and how important it is to be here for the services, for Sunday school, and Wednesday night, Sunday night, as we're here tonight, and I know I'm preaching to the choir on that, but we know that we grow by opening up the Word and learning from the Word. You can't grow without the Word. Amen? You got to have the Word. You got to have the base, the foundation of the faith is the Word of God. If you don't have the base, you have nothing, right? The rest will crumble. And here Jehoshaphat knew that. He said, go out, teach them, give them the Word of God. And, you know, and I do believe that in our society today, we don't see a lot of revival. You know, we find revival here. Why is there revival here? What does he do? He gets rid of the junk. He says, we're not going to compromise. I don't care what everybody else is doing, but we're not going to compromise. We're going to get rid of the junk that's out there. We're going to get, and you know what we're going to do? We're going to start basing what we believe and what we feel, you know, what we have on the Word of God. And he goes, go out and teach the people. Give them the Word. You know, I believe there's not a lot of revival today because a lot of people really don't care what the Word has to say. I do believe that. I believe, you know, in Burlington, North Carolina, where they had the big revival, you know, people got excited about the Word. People said, wow, you know, and there was preaching going on and teaching, and they had a revival break out there in Burlington, North Carolina. Why? Because the Word was being preached in such a great way, and people started to get on fire for the Word of God and wanted to know more about the Bible. And you hear stories about people, policemen that were out there directing traffic into this, were getting saved as they heard the Word being preached from inside the tent. You hear stories about just stuff like that over and over and over from that revival. People getting saved that hadn't heard the message preached were coming in. The Spirit of God was so heavy on that town and in that area back then. Why? Because there was a passion there for the Word, and there was a passion that people wanted to get that stuff out of their lives. And in no different, we find the revival here in Jehoshaphat's day. But of course, with every he had a revival, everything was going great. But Jehoshaphat decides to do something that many of us are guilty of. And we find that in verse number 10. But he starts to yoke with the enemies. Look at verse number 10. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. They all had his respect. And look at this, verse 11. Also, some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat. Now, the Philistines have nothing to do with God. They shouldn't be having any dealings with Jehoshaphat in that regard. But here the Philistines come. They brought Jehoshaphat presents and tribute of silver, and the Arabians brought him flocks, and you know, and they go on to big numbers there on all the stuff they had brought him. What's the problem with that? Jehoshaphat should have had nothing to do with the Philistines. As far as here, let me give you stuff. Let me help you guys out. Let me give you guys goods and give you guys stuff. You know what Jehoshaphat should have said is, but my God shall supply my need, right? That's what Jehoshaphat should have said. Hey, I don't need your stuff. I serve a God that's going to take care of my needs. I don't need that kind of stuff into my life. But he started yoking with the enemy. He started to, you know, well, I want to be their friends, and I don't really want to hurt their feelings. And what did he do? He started to compromise a little bit in what they stood for. See, he had cut down the grove. He said, we got to get all that stuff out of our lives. But here by verse 10 and 11, they got victory. But now he's starting to compromise a little bit. He said, well, maybe it was a pride. Maybe it was a love of money. He said, well, yeah, bring it on. Whatever you guys got, keep it coming. Maybe it was a love of money. But what he should have did, instead of taking their stuff and taking their goods, he should have gave them the good news. He should have said, hey, wait a minute. I appreciate what you want to do here, but I got some better news. I got some stuff that's way more valuable than anything you can give me. I serve the real God. I serve the God that has brings salvation into your life. And here, let me share with you the gospel. What he should have did, but he didn't. He accepted the gift. He started making friends with the enemies. We have to be careful of that. We know that 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? No, that does not mean, no, I'm not saying we can't witness to the world. No, I'm not saying we can be, quote unquote, friends with our coworkers who are lost. And I understand that. I'm not saying we sit there in our own little bubble in church and we don't want to talk to anybody that's, you know, lost. That's ridiculous. The problem is when we start to yoke together, it's a relationship. We shouldn't have, we shouldn't be equally yoked with people that are lost. They shouldn't be in our inner circle, if you will, if you want to bring it in, into that thought process. We shouldn't have, in our inner circle needs to be our Christian friends, the people that we can lean on, the people that we trust the most, the people that we know that we can lean on through going through hard times and tough times. That's our inner circle. Those are the people we're going to hang out with and go out to dinner and have over our house all the time, things like that. But, you know, but on the outside, the Bible says we need what light hath communion with darkness. You know, people that go out and hang out with lost people all the time and they're always in those situations. What do you think happens? What do you think happens when a believer continues to put themselves in a compromising position with other people? Not good things. Not good things. You know why? Because they start to, well, it'll be okay if I go to this party. Well, I'm not going to do that. And it'll be okay. I can be friends with them. What happens? I'm not saying this, the Bible says it, that we need to be careful of who our friends are, why. We shouldn't be careful. We need to be careful of that. And what our main reason needs to be, the reason we strike up friendships with neighbors and friends and you know, people that are lost, it's not so that we can yoke up with them and be BFFs, right? The reason that we make friends with the lost is why? To lead them to Christ, to be a witness. That's our job. It's not so we can yoke up and be buddy-buddy on this earth. It's to lead them to Jesus Christ. And that's what he should have done here. So what did he do? He started to compromise. Look at chapter 18. Look at verse 1 through 3 with me real quick. So what did he do? Here he's starting to yoke with the enemy. He's starting to compromise. Here we go in chapter 18. Look at verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. And after certain years, he went down to Ahab and to Samaria. And Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answering him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in war. Here you find out, here's Jehoshaphat, a good godly man, but he started compromising. Here he goes up to King Ahab. The Bible says that he joined affinity with Ahab. Ahab was the king of Israel. Ahab was deeply rooted in the Baal worship. Ahab wanted nothing to do with God. He's a great picture of the law, of the world, of the lost. He was lost. He was the world. But here's a picture. Bring it in 2018. Let's use John Smith the believer. Let's think about this. John Smith the believer joined affinity with Tom the lost man. There's a line there. Our job in joining, or our job in, of having friendships outside of being outside of believers, is to lead them to Christ. It's not to start to yoke together what we believe. It's not to start to say, "Well, we'll accept. We'll bring in your music a little bit. We'll bring in your thoughts, and we'll bring in your stuff, and kind of mix it all together, and then it'll be okay." That's what he was doing. He was making affinity with him. And here he was an evil man, and Jehoshaphat is one of the most godly kings, really starting out. And you have Ahab, one of the most evil kings that ever lived. He was married to Jezebel, one of the most evil people in all the world, Queen Jezebel. And here, so they're starting to mix. And in verse 2, it finds out, he says, hey, will you go up with me? Ahab says, will you go up with me to Ramoth-Gilead? There's a battle taking place. And he says, hey, Jehoshaphat, why don't you come with me? Why don't you just kind of join together, mix our families together, and mix everything we got, and bring all that together, and you'll come fight with us, and we'll just kind of be one big happy family. Jehoshaphat buys it in verse number 3. Look what Jehoshaphat says there towards the end. Well, it says, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answering him, as I grab a cough drop, he says, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in the war. That's Jehoshaphat speaking there. Here, the most evil king, married to Queen Jezebel, as worldly as you can be, goes up with King Jehoshaphat, a godly man, a man that had revival in the town, a man that was serving God unbelievably. And here he goes over and says, hey, friend, why don't you come over to our side and help us fight a few battles? Help us to win this battle over here. Will you do that, friend? What Jehoshaphat should have said, no, sir, we will have nothing to do with you. We have our own standards. We're not going to compromise because I want to have more friends. What does he do? He says, hey, yes, sir, buddy, no problem, man. Hey, your people are as our people. Your kids and your friends, we're all just one big happy family anyway. What does it matter? And they join affinity together. What a mess. See, Jehoshaphat got him and his family in some battles they should have never been in. They had no business being in this battle with Ahab. And you know what? I wonder almost a lot of times in our lives, if we start to get ourselves in some battles that we shouldn't be in. You know, we've let some compromise come into our life that we've compromised in this area and that area. And then we sit back and we wonder, man, I don't know why I'm going through this battle and that battle. And I can't figure out why this is going on, that going on. What battles are you shouldn't be in? Here Jehoshaphat was in a battle he should never had a part of. Why? Because he started to compromise what he believed. When you compromise, you do things you wouldn't normally do. You do things that you normally wouldn't do. In fact, we'll see that. Look in verse number 29. Look in verse number 29 of that same chapter. Look at the result of his evil friendship. Look what it does. Verse number 29. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself, and I will go to the battle, but put thou on thy robe. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to the battle. Now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only with the king of Israel. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, and they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. Look at verse 32. Excuse me. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back against from pursuing him. What happens here? What does it matter why we yoke with our friends? What does it matter if we compromise and start to have friendships with the lost, with unsaved people? What does it matter? You're going to do some stupid things. You're going to compromise, and you're going to do things you wouldn't do. And let me tell you, those friends that you think are your friends, they really don't care about you. You're not on the same love. You're a born-again believer, and they're lost. You don't have the same goals. You don't have the same mindset there. And look what happens here. Number one, when you compromise, you do stupid things, okay? What happened here? Ahab goes to Jehoshaphat, and he goes, I'll use Pat Hall as an example. Pat, I'll let you be Joe. I'll be Ahab. I'll be the bad guy, okay? I mean, we know the opposite's true, but we'll, for this example only, I'll be the bad guy, and Pat will be Jehoshaphat. He would be like, hey, buddy, I'll tell you what. Because, you know, in the war, what do they try to do? They want to kill the king, right? You win. If you kill the other person's king, you win, like chess. So he goes, hey, buddy, do me a favor, would you? Dress up like me. When we go into this battle, I want you to dress up like me and look like the king. And I'll just dress like a common folk, like a regular guy. Why don't you go ahead and dress up and be like the king when we go into this battle? What would you do? Right, of course. Why would you do that? He's based, hey, buddy, why don't you be the king and dress up and look like the king, and I won't look like the king. Well, how stupid is that? They're going for the king. That's who they want to kill, is the king. That's the purpose of it. And Jehoshaphat, why? Because he's made compromise in his life, says, okay, hey, that sounds like a good idea. You know what we do that in our lives? When we start to compromise, when we start to allow sin into our lives, whether it be whatever it is, whatever sin it might be, whether it's through music, through the world, whatever it might be, you know what we do when we start to allow that compromise to come into our lives? We start to get into friendships we shouldn't be in. You know what we do? We do stupid things. We start getting involved in things that we should have never been in. We start to fight battles that we should have never been involved in. Are you with me tonight? It's a dangerous thing when we start to compromise on what the Word of God says. It's a dangerous thing when we start to mix the world and Christianity. It's a dangerous thing. And we have to be careful about that. Not only will you do stupid things when you're doing that, but you know what? The devil will use your friends to destroy you. You know, as we kind of talked about, of course, he did the stupid thing. He dressed up as the king. He thought he was going to die, and he called out to God. God made them realize, hey, that's not really the king of Israel, and they quit pursuing him. But he was about to die. Why? Because he wanted to be friends with people. You know, you read about these NBA players, and you read about the fact that, you know, they'll go on these documentaries, and they'll talk about the fact, man, when I had all that money, you know, when everything was good, I had all kinds of friends. You've all heard this. You know, when the money was flowing in and, man, the parties were going on, I had friends everywhere. I had people calling me, hey, this is your uncle so-and-so. I haven't talked to you, you know. Hey, buddy, how you doing? And, you know, they have friends everywhere and everyone wants to be their friend. But, man, when they broke their leg and their career dried up and the money stopped flowing in, they looked around, where's all those friends at? They were gone. They were gone. So we have to be careful, who's our friends? Why are we the friends, the people that we have in our lives, in our inner circle, the friends that we have joined affinity with, where do they stand? Oh, it's not that big a deal, Brother Ryan. They're good people, and it won't be a big deal if we join, you know, affinity together, and I start hanging out with them all the time, and you know, doing this and doing that. Oh, really? There's reasons that God puts these kind of things in the Word of God, and that's for us to look at them and learn from them, and to add them to our lives. So, what are the results from his backsliding? Will be done. Not only did Jehoshaphat lost a bunch of blessings. He lost so many things that Jehoshaphat could have had in his life. He lost it. And just like in our walk with the Lord, we can't lose our salvation. But you know what you can lose? You can lose blessings. You can lose rewards. You can lose things in your life when you start to backslide. And he lost the fellowship with God. He started to compromise. He started to do things he never thought he would do. He started to, you know, again, hey, I'll dress up as a king. Who cares? You know, that kind of thing. But see, our fellowship depends on our followship. Our fellowship with God depends on our followship. Have you been following God? Are you serving God the way you should follow Him? Are you following in the right way? Because when your fellowship is off, there's something wrong in the fellowship. Are you with me tonight? When our fellowship with God is off, there's something wrong in the fellowship. Are you following the Lord as Jehoshaphat did earlier in the scriptures that we read? What did it matter that Jehoshaphat did what he did? His sin followed him into future generations. His son Jehoram ends up marrying Ahab's daughter. So his son marries Ahab's daughter. And if you remember back in chapter number 18, verse 3. I knew there's a 3 in there somewhere. Chapter number 18, verse number 3. Remember when he stood up and Ahab goes up to Jehoshaphat and says, "Hey, Jehoshaphat, will you join us in war?" And what does he tell him? "Hey, your people is our people. We're all the same thing anyway. Who cares? Let's all join affinity and hold hands and go to war together." There was a problem there. You know what the problem was? There was a little boy, Jehoshaphat's son, and there was a daughter out there, probably in their teenage years, that were out there in the crowd, and they heard Daddy stand up and say, "Hey, it really doesn't matter if we mix this stuff together. It really doesn't matter if we start to mix the things of the world and the things of Christianity and we start to make them together. What does it matter?" And there's two little kids that heard that in that crowd that day. And when they got older, what happened? The Bible says they ended up getting married. Those two people that heard that ended up getting married. You know what the mess that followed with that? Jehoram, he ended up murdering all his brothers. He wanted to be the king. He murdered all his brothers. He made the high places again. He caused the people of Judah to, again, go back and worship and commit spiritual adultery. Then, all of Jehoram's sons were murdered by Queen Jezebel. She goes out and murders all of them, except one, only one, was saved from that. Jezebel ends up ruling as a queen in the nation of Israel. She's ruling there for a while. She had no place to be in there. But because of this, here Jezebel's in there. The pain of the death, and Jehoram, the Bible says, died of a disease of the stomach, of the intestines. What did it matter? There are two little kids in that audience that heard mom and or heard daddy stand up and say, hey, we're all the same thing anyway. What does it matter if I mix all this stuff together?" He started to compromise. And the mess that took place with his kids and their kids and the murders and the wickedness that in the family that came into a family that should have never been in there, a queen, the evil queen Jezebel that ended up ruling the nation of Israel for a little while, that it should have never been there. All that happened, why? Because of compromise. "Well, it doesn't matter if I compromise, it won't hurt anybody." Oh, yeah? It will. Because you know why? There's little kids that are watching. And when they see mom and they see dad compromise, you know what they think? "It's okay. It's okay." But it's not okay. Compromising. What are you compromising right now? There might be areas in your life that maybe you're saying, "Man, I need to work on that. Maybe I've compromised in what I listen to, what I've watched, what I, my friends. Maybe I've been trying to, make friendship, make affinity with friends I shouldn't have, and I don't know." But and again, people will say, "Well, everybody else is doing it, Everybody else is compromised. Oh, that church over there, they do this. And this church over here, they've been, you know, listening to that. And this church over here does that. I don't care. Amen? I don't care. You know why? Because I base what I believe off the Word of God. Are you with me tonight? I base what we believe on the Word of God. Not because this church or that person or this person does it. When I stand on before the Lord, I have to stand before the Lord and say, you know what? I based what I believe on this. And not what John Smith over here and Billy Bob over there and so-and-so Church of God over here or whatever it might be, what they do or what they say. Because I really don't care. What I care is what God says. What are we compromising in? Or is there a grove? Maybe there's something in our life we need to cut down. Brother Pat, go ahead and come forward. Miss Tina. Maybe there's something we're holding high in our life. Maybe we've just been compromising. I don't know. It's between you and God. What have we been doing? Oh, but it won't be that bad. Yes, it will. So you have to be careful in compromising. You always compromise more than you ever thought you would. But it only affects me. No, it won't. Look at what happened in their lives to their kids, their future kids. It's a mess. It's a mess. Trust me, the devil wants nothing more than to make you think that adding a little bit of the world into Christianity is okay. It's not. It's not. What light? What does light have to do with darkness? Nothing. They're two different things. They're not the same thing. Amen? Light and darkness are not the same. You can't say, well, it's okay to take this little bit of darkness and add it to a little bit of light so it'll be okay. No, it's not okay. Light is light. Dark is dark. They're two different things. They have nothing to do with, like oil and water. You ever see oil and water go together? They don't go together because they're two different things. You know what that is? It's called compromising. We start to compromise what we believe to try to maybe make friends, to try to do this, try to do that. Compromising is never right. Maybe we're compromising in our lives. Can I encourage you tonight? Get that compromise out of there. Get it out of our lives. Say, you know what? I'm not going to compromise anymore. I'm not going to care what they do, but I'm going to base what I believe on the Word of God, and I'm going to get the compromise out of my life. Can I encourage you to do that tonight? Maybe there's somebody in your life you want to come pray for. Maybe there's a family member that's been compromising, not serving God the way they should. You want to come down and pray for them. Say, Lord, help them. Help my family to quit compromising. Help me to get that darkness out of my life. Quit mixing it in with the light. All right, brother, what number do we have? Go ahead and stand.
317.
As we stand, 317, altars are open. Maybe there's some things you want to work out with God. Here we go as we sing.